Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Lynn. So Lynn, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, thanks for having me. Lynn Jackson is my name. I may show up as Lynn Woodard, but I am in fact married. So new name, Lynn Jackson, still getting used to that. I live in Pilot Point, Texas, out in the country, but I work... we have an office in Highland Village, Texas, and then I also have an office in Crossroads, and I own a group counseling practice. We have, I think, maybe 7 clinicians. I have a business partner, so, and then we have about 7 clinicians all working together.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Okay. There's a long story there. So this is the second career for me. I was in business. I was in the business world in human resources. I had a really high level, high powered position. And then I had to end up going into treatment for trauma. And so I went to the Meadows in Wickenburg and was there for a couple of months and did a lot of work on myself, and then at that point decided to change careers and went back to school and became a therapist. I worked at Sante Center for Healing, which is here in Argyle. It's a treatment center. I worked there as an intern and then moved into private practice, and my business partner and I were at working at someone else's private practice or group practice. And we just decided to go out on our own. And so we started that in 2018 and it grew to having 2 offices 2 years ago. So in 2020, I guess.
Awesome. So can you just talk more about your story? I think it's interesting because as you mentioned, right, you were in HR, you had a very good job, and then all of a sudden you said, okay, I want to pivot and do something different. So like, I guess if you can just tell our audience why and like what made you want to make that change and make that pivot into your career.
For sure. Because it was a very like kind of out of the blue for me. So I've always been really interested in psychology. And so right after I got my bachelor's degree, I went and went straight into a PhD program to get my PhD in psychology. As I was doing my internships, I realized that my boundaries with other people were not that great. And so I had a really difficult time doing my internships. And so I dropped out of that PhD program and decided to go into business. And I was like, okay, what's sort of related to psychology that might be business related? And so I landed in HR. And like I said, I was really like super driven and excelled. And, you know, I went from being global director of workforce, you know, talent management at a company to intern as a therapist. And so that was an interesting ego situation. But it was the treatment that I received at the Meadows that made me decide to go into this field. And I had been in therapy for many years and had mostly done talk therapy. Which is what I think most people think of when they think of, oh, I'm going to a therapist. But the Meadows had or has a different model. And they also use a variety of different kinds of treatment. So For trauma, they use EMDR treatment, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which is a very effective treatment for trauma. And they also use somatic experiencing and trauma-informed yoga therapy. So it was a combination of all the different types of therapy there that helped me to heal. And so those particular types of therapy were not readily available at many places, especially here in Dallas. And so, my initial thought was, okay, I want to do for other people what these people did for me. And so that's where I decided I was going to go back to school. And while I was in school, I was doing these different trainings, like in EMDR and SE, and I'm a trauma-informed yoga therapist. Because grad school teaches you a lot, but they don't teach you these specialized things. And so that was essentially it. It was like, I want to do for other people what was kindly and gently done for me. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I made the decision.
Awesome. So can you just talk more about trauma therapy, like what it's all about, and I guess, why somebody specifically would seek it out? And it's just like a one-time traumatic experience. I think that many people don't understand like what trauma therapy is or what even real trauma even looks like.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you have your so you have what the DSM, Diagnostic Statistical Manual, classifies as post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's usually from, combat or like a sexual assault or a car accident or a natural disaster. That's what's diagnosable as PTSD. But there's this whole other side of trauma, which is known as complex PTSD, which is usually comes in the family of origin, with, parents that aren't entirely functional. And so it's kind of a series of, a child feeling unseen, unheard, just feeling like they don't really matter that much. And it's usually because parents are, tied up in their own stuff. They've got, a couple of different, a couple of kids, or they're going through a divorce or whatever. And so the kids sometimes, don't get the nurturing that they need. And so that's primarily, like, I have seen maybe three clients in my entire career that have a single event trauma and don't have complex trauma from their family of origin. So, most of the clients that come to me have what we call family of origin trauma, because you're building your personality between the ages of 0 and 7 or 8. That's the ages where you learn who you are as a person, and your worth and your value and, your place in the world. And a lot of kids just don't get that, not intentionally. But we focus on impact, not intent of, the primary caregivers. And so, the kind of therapy I do is mostly bottom-up therapy. So we're coming through the body, through the most primitive parts of the brain, so the brainstem, up into kind of the frontal lobe, which is where talk therapy usually happens. Like, whenever you're doing talk therapy with someone, you're dealing with the frontal lobe. The problem is trauma is not stored in the frontal lobe. A lot of times we can't even remember it. It's stored in the nervous system and in the body. So trauma-informed yoga therapy, somatic experiencing, EMDR are all considered bottom-up therapy. So it's approaching, talk therapy is hugely important. And I do some of that. And, a lot of my colleagues do it. And it's hugely important. But it doesn't necessarily get to the areas where the trauma is being stored. Does
That
that make
makes
sense?
sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess in terms of, people that you're working with, do you feel like, I mean, obviously now, social media is a big thing, and I think that you have a lot, a lot more young people looking more so, seeing other family, other things going on. So do you think in the age of social media that it's kind of this has become more well known or a more common occurrence that, you're seeing people that people are seeking out this kind of treatment?
Definitely. Polyvagal theory and the vagus nerve. When I started my training, no one knew what that was. No one had heard of it. And now the internet is flooded with how do you tone your vagus nerve? What is polyvagal theory? And so, yeah, absolutely. In this day and age, there are people that have entire YouTube channels on somatic therapy and polyvagal theory and the vagus nerve. And you've got tons of little, TikTok videos of people showing you how to stimulate your vagus nerve. And so I do think it's absolutely become a lot more mainstream for people to seek out this type of therapy. And for that, I'm grateful because people don't know they need it until they know they need it, or until they recognize, okay, I've been in talk therapy for 20 years and something's just still not clicking. And so yes, absolutely. And I think social media, while it can be the creator of some, problems that people come to therapy for, it has also been really helpful in educating people and letting them know, hey, there may be a different way to go about approaching this.
100%. So, what would you say the role of technology is when it comes to your business?
Well, let's see. It became hugely important when COVID hit, because never in a million years did I think that I, as a body-oriented therapist, could do therapy online. And when I was in graduate school, it was like, absolutely not. Never do therapy online. It is a bad, bad, bad idea. And we adjust with the times. And so, technology has been huge, early on in COVID, that's all we could do. And so we had to figure out ways, and different technologies were developed to be able to do EMDR online. And, one of my somatic experiencing trainings was actually online, which there's a lot of touch work and body movement involved. So I was a little skeptical. I was like, how is this going to work? But we've just adapted and we've changed with the times. And so I think that has been a huge part of it. I do a lot of online marketing just because, that's where people find you. If I want to find a therapist, I call my friends and I also look online, look at their reviews, look at, all the information about them. I did a series of YouTube videos. It's kind of fallen off because it's not my super favorite thing in the world to do. So you're welcome. But yeah, I've done a couple of TikTok and YouTube videos. I want to kind of get back in that because I think it's really helpful to educate people, because it's a different new way of thinking and you have to build new neural pathways. So, someone can tell you, okay, this is your nervous system talking to you, but unless you're practicing the exercises to tone your vagus nerve, we go right back to what's familiar, what we've always done. And so it kind of has to be a daily practice.
100%. So obviously now in 2023, it's the age of AI. So are you using AI in your business? And if not, like what are some of the use cases you think in the future when it comes to your business involving AI?
I think it's terrifying. To be honest, I'm not super familiar with it. I'm trying to think of how it could impact our business. Like the only AI that I'm really familiar with is, and someone told me about it, Chat GPS, or is it?
ChatGPT,
Yeah, it's Chat GPT. And I looked at that, and that's scary. Just from a I don't know why it's scary to me. I guess From an intellectual property standpoint, it doesn't really feel right that you could just type in anything and get all this information on it. Although that's what Google is, so I don't know. It just for I'm older. I remember this is my second career, so it's it, I don't understand a lot about it, and so I think that's probably why it's a little bit scary to me, like anything that we're unfamiliar with. So I don't know how it could it's like before I didn't understand how like a Zoom session would be helpful. It's like I don't know what I don't know. Like I don't know enough about AI to understand how that might be effective. I'm sure it has a role. I just don't know what it is yet.
That's interesting. It's like what we've seen a lot is when it comes to AI, it's like using it as a customer support tool. So if somebody's on a website answering questions, it's like a live 24/7 chatbot, and you get like this really live experience feeling like you're actually talking to a person. So if somebody's messaging you at 3 in the morning, they can actually get answers that are a valuable answer. They can understand more about the business. So that's the use case I've seen. But yeah, there's definitely lots of, I think, use cases happening now in 2023.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that, again, this gives me a little bit of a creepy feeling, but the suicide hotlines, it used to be you picked up and you talked to a person. Now there's a lot of texting that happens, and I'm assuming that the person on the other end is or I think people that are struggling with that assume that it's a human on the other end. But at some point, it may not be. I mean, there may be some place for it there. Like and that's and I'm of course when you say customer, I think client. So I'm thinking client. I'm thinking client support. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question and something I haven't given much thought to.
No, 100%. It's like it's making me think. It's like, if somebody's reaching out at 3 in the morning, and if somebody's not available, if they need the help, you can talk to AI and say, listen, like, what do I do? And it can help guide somebody in the right direction. It can definitely be very positive and help save lives.
Right, exactly. I mean, and I think that's amazing. I think that's a really, that's something I had never thought of. So I really appreciate the question. I think it's it could really actually be useful. So
Yeah, it's awesome. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing in the business?
well, I would say right now in particular, it's probably just economic times are tough for everybody. We're a practice that does not take insurance, primarily because insurance companies often want to tell you how to treat your patients, right? They want to make sure that they're on medication or make sure that they're receiving CBT therapy, which is not really the kind of therapy that I use. So we don't take insurance, and a lot of clients are trying to find ways to, cut costs, and so they want to use therapists that take insurance. And so that's something that's personal to us. There are plenty of therapists out there that do take insurance. We just don't because of the type of therapy that we do. So I would say, getting clients. Now I have had clients that have said, "Oh no, I need to use my insurance," and then they try out a few people and they're like, okay. Right. Like they come back and they're like, okay. Not that I'm better than those therapists. They just couldn't find a fit for someone that takes their insurance. And so I would say that is something new. Like we've never, that's never been much of a challenge for us before. But I think with just economic times and everything being tight, people are looking for a way to cut costs. And so that's a challenge for us personally as a practice. However, I know that the field in general is booming. I mean, there are lots of therapists that are on waiting lists, and especially if they take insurance. So the field itself is booming. If you're private pay, you might be experiencing a little bit of a slowdown, but it's not significant. It's just the first time it's really come up for us.
Do you offer financing, for example, for people who might not have the money now and really want to use your service?
So we do intensives. And so like I will, take a week and it may be done in my office or it may be done like at their location. If they're coming from out of town, they may get an Airbnb and I go to them and I take them to equine therapy and I have my yoga therapist come in and work with them. So for that kind of thing, which is, relatively can be costly. I mean, a big chunk of change up front. What we offer some flexibility and payment there. We do take HSA cards, health savings accounts, health savings accounts. So that's helpful. A lot of us will keep like a small number of reduced rate spots for clients that really need this particular type of treatment and can't afford it. So most of my colleagues, will hold two or three spots open for clients that just really need the therapy but can't afford it. Those spots stay pretty full, but we at least offer them.
No, 100%. I think it's definitely, people have to understand, it's about the value, and it's not to knock other people, but it's, you're offering something very unique and very different. And I think that people have to understand that it's not just quote unquote regular therapy. There's much more to it.
There is, and you clients usually come in for one thing, and as we start to peel the onion, there's just more and more things to uncover. And so, my goal is never to keep people in therapy forever. Like I want to get them in, do the intense work. There are my dogs. Do the intense work that we need to do, and then reduce the amount of times that I have to see them. Like they may start once a month or once a week, go to once every 2 weeks, go to once a month. And then I still have clients that'll check in with me like every 3 months, every 6 months, just as an update. So, yeah, you're right. You have to understand that it's a niche skill set that we have. Our goal is never to keep people in therapy forever. We want to give them the tools to be able to reduce the amount of times that they need to come and see us in person.
I love that. I think that's amazing. And I think that's a huge problem in the industry that many people want to keep their clients forever and ever. And I think when you are actually solutions oriented, that is the best way. And people appreciate that way more.
I think our clients really do. Just give me the tools. Give me what I need to be able to go and stand on my own 2 feet and do this. And if I'm going through a particularly tough time, I know that I can call you and get in to see you. If I need some perspective on something or whatever that is. But absolutely, no, my goal is to work myself out of a job.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So our website is www.highlandvillagecounseling.com. And our email address that goes directly to our office manager who fields all questions is just info@highlandvillagecounseling.com.
Awesome. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, you can help more people. And yeah, thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was really nice to be with you.
Wise, thanks. All
All
right,
right. Take
bye.
care. Bye.